Several months ago, I took my family to the Marvel Experience. How many of you went to that? Did you hear about that? Okay, Liam, good. It's my family. Okay. All right, well, it was good, wasn't it, buddy? Okay, so I grew up in Arlington, and I'm very familiar with it, but the part of town that always confuses me is Fair Park. It's just confusing over there. And so as we prepared to leave, I decided I was going to let Siri guide us in to Fair Park. So I put the state fairgrounds is what I said. Take me to the state fairgrounds. And she says, okay, here we go. So as we're driving, Siri's directions are a little unique. And Shelley didn't quite like the directions that I was going, but I kept the faith. I kept going because I had faith. I mean, Siri was created by Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs. So she has to know what she's doing. So we kept going, we kept driving, and as we got closer, I noticed that the directions were not in a particularly familiar way. I've never really gone that way before. And Shelley was telling me beside me, you don't need to go this way. Don't need to go this way. But I kept listening to Siri, and she took us down some back roads in Fair Park. Shelley gently nudged me to listen to her. She gently, Scott, you know my wife. Gently nudging me. I told her, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to listen to her. Siri was leading the way, and I would get there because we were very close. I looked on the map, and we were close. So we journeyed under a train track, and we finally made it to our destination. It was a parking lot next to a train track. It was enclosed by a 12-foot tall chain link fence, some storage containers, steel pipes, a few pit bulls. I'm not sure there were pit bulls, but it's the kind of place that would have had pit bulls, I'm sure. But the thing is, we made it to the fairgrounds. We made it there. We were just in the back, very back of the fairgrounds, the very back of the fairgrounds. What I find funny about this moment, funny now, not then, was that I followed. I was being led by an impersonal, man-made woman. And I wasn't listening to the personal God-made woman sitting right beside me. Have you ever allowed yourself to be led in the wrong direction? Have you ever allowed yourself to be led? So today we talk about what it means to be led by the Spirit. I thought that was a good story, and it really was funny. I'll tell you more about it if you're interested. But as we begin, let's pray together and ask that God will be with us today. Our Heavenly Father, we are open books to you right now. We are here to receive. We are here to give to each other the encouragement and grace and love that we so desperately want. Lord, we are so encouraged to see people who participate in the service, like Joel and his story. We love seeing what you can do with people. Lord, there are stories just like that in all parts of this room, and those people who aren't even here. Lord, we know you are alive and active. We know you aren't just sitting somewhere else waiting, Lord, but you're involved. So we pray right now that you would help us to hear, help us to listen, break down those barriers in our heart that would keep us from participating in the message that you have to say today. I pray that you would pour on me the gift of preaching and that you would pour your Spirit out on this place. We pray that the Holy Spirit would come. We don't say that lightly. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. We're going to be in here and in Acts chapter 2. We're going to be in a few other places, but primarily those two specifics today. Today, we continue our conversation on the Holy Spirit. For those of you who weren't here last week, Thank you, Russell, for that. I would suggest you go online and watch the sermon online or listen to it. If you need help with that, if you don't have availability, we can get you a CD of the sermon series. We would love to be able to help you with that. In Acts 2, Peter tells us specifically how to respond. The people ask him, what do we do? And he says, you need to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Jesus in John chapter 16 said this. He says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus was telling us that the Spirit of God, this Holy Spirit gift, would be good. But as we talked about last week, for a while now, we may have received the gift with glad and thankful hearts. We take it, and when we do what we do with most any other gift we don't fully understand, we put it somewhere until we fully understand it. We keep it there to remind us that we are saved, and when we doubt, we point right back to that gift and say, see, I'm saved. See, I have the Spirit. The Spirit that helped form the world. The Spirit that transforms the word, the worst of us, into the best of us, into God followers. That Spirit is in me. It is on me. And I wonder, how different would I be if I really knew the power that rested on me? The Holy Spirit is hard to understand. Very difficult. What is it? What is the Holy Spirit? It's encouraging for me to know that people extremely smarter than me have struggled to try to identify and nail that definition down, this third part of the Trinity. We believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. We believe that there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If we believe in the Trinity, then we have to believe that each part of the Trinity is equal to the other part. If God's the head and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are subservient to him, it's not really a Trinity. They're all equal. God, Jesus, and God are one. The Holy Spirit and Jesus and God, they're all one. It's a difficult concept to grasp, really. Therefore, the Spirit of God is the essence of God. Just as Jesus was God in the flesh, the Spirit of God rested on Jesus at the baptism, and that same Spirit has now been given to us, and it rests upon the body of Christ. Rests upon the church, which is us. So as we choose to give our lives in discipleship to Jesus Christ, to follow him and his way, we follow him in death, we follow him through baptism, and the gift that God gives us is the gift of his Spirit. That's fantastic to me. The Spirit that hovered over the waters at creation is the same Spirit that rests in the body of Christ today. I find that to be remarkable. It's not natural by any stretch. In fact, it's more than natural. It's supernatural. We are living the supernatural each and every day, primarily because when the Spirit lives inside of us, when the Spirit is resting on the body of Christ, he will show us things that are not natural. In fact, they're far from it. The Spirit helps us to see past the outside, into the heart. What does he say in 1 Samuel? Remember that when he's looking for a king? He tells Samuel, the Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's from 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Spirit of God shows us and invites us into a supernatural life. I mean, how else could we worship here each and every Sunday? Fellowship. Partner with each other. Minister with people who are not like us. How else except through the Spirit can we see past what the world considers valuable into what God sees as valuable? I mean, just like Joel, I love this church family. I love you. I love you, rich, poor, whatever your social class, whatever your financial situation, whatever your political ideology, I love you. And that's a supernatural thing to be able to say that, to partner with you, regardless of who we are. The Spirit has shown me in many ways who you really are, because I see myself, my flaws and all, but He also has shown me who you could be. This is what the Spirit can do. In fact, it's only really just the beginning. The Spirit of God has many things to show us. You see, the Spirit is not only a gift from God, it's a gift that keeps on giving. But I think, you know, you have to listen, you have to follow, you have to let the Spirit lead you. So if you look at the Spirit through Scripture, it's been seen in many different ways. One of the early words is breath. You know, it's where pneumatology comes through. You know, this idea that the Spirit of God is the breath of God. You see that image. And you also see many other images of the Spirit of God. So from the Spirit of God and that pillar of fire, and that cloud during the Jews' escape from Egypt, from Elijah, he's hiding in the cleft of that rock, and you see all the storms and everything. But the Spirit, where was God? In the gentle, quiet wind. Till you see this image of the Spirit in this strong wind when the apostles were at Pentecost. You see the Spirit resting as tongues of fire on top of these men. But there's also moments when the Spirit gently urges us and moves us and leads us towards particular things. So when someone says, the Spirit led me, or the Spirit did, I usually perk up and listen. Because I want to know how other people experience God. I want to see that. I want to hear the stories. And why am I so curious? I think it's because I want to be reminded that God is real, that He is who He says He is, that He will do what He says He will do. And when people talk about their experience with God, when they talk about their experience with the Holy Spirit, it reminds me that God knows us. He really knows us. He knows what's good for me. And when the Spirit leads us, it means He's not separated from us. The Spirit reminds me that He's paying attention. He wants me to be transformed into the image of God, and He knows what is good for me. And that's what I love. When the Spirit of God leads us, He's leading us to something that is good for us. But I also need to be reminded that when the Spirit leads me somewhere, He's not always leading me to greener pastures or better circumstances. There's always a joke in the preacher circles whenever someone says, the Spirit of God led me to this particular church, because it's rarely a church that is smaller and pays less. Spirit led me to this 3,000-member church. We actually had an interview with somebody a long time ago who asked us, hey, could you tell me how much you're going to pay me so that I can tell if God's leading me to your church? I thought it was funny too, but what I think is interesting is this idea that the Spirit does lead us, but it's not always to something that is better. Let's look in Luke chapter 3, start in verse 13. We're going to read this really quickly. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. Verse 14, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. I love that last little sentence. Well, of course he would be. 40 days without food. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I mean, this is a great moment, wasn't it? The baptism, a voice of God, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, God proclaiming, "This is my son." This should have been the moment that started everything. This should have been the moment he started taking followers' names right then and there. This should have been the moment that he stood up and started proclaiming who he was. But what did he do? He allowed the Spirit to lead him into the desert, into the wilderness. It's not a very smart marketing move. But Jesus followed. Can you imagine? Are you sure, God, you want me to go to the desert? I mean, from the outside, this 40 days seems like a waste of time, doesn't it? Whenever you could be teaching or preaching or healing. I mean, the desert's no place for God's people. It's no place for people who have better things to be doing. The desert's filled with danger, isn't it? It's filled with things that are not hospitable. The desert is a bad move all the way around. I could die. But this answer that Jesus gave was not, the answer Jesus gave was yes. Let's go. Jesus was following the Spirit, and the Spirit was leading him to something that was good for him. To be led by the Spirit means learning to trust. To trust that God knows what he's doing. To trust that the Spirit will not only lead us where we need to go, that the Spirit will help us see and do what we need to see and to do. And in this moment, the Spirit allowed Jesus to see things that weren't natural. He squared off with the devil. Talk about trust in God. When we trust the Spirit to take us farther along the path, we begin to see this path through the eyes of God. And the question that I ask is, do I really trust the Spirit to lead me? Jesus had complete trust that God was with him. The Spirit, he trusted the Spirit that God would lead him into communion with him. But Jesus had to face some difficult and uncomfortable moments. Can you imagine how uncomfortable that must have been? Day one, you're probably still on the exciting adventure. Day two, maybe. Day three, without food, it's probably getting a little miserable. Day 38, To be led by the Spirit means learning to trust, but it also means learning to be uncomfortable. We don't really know what happened to Jesus in those 40 days in the desert. We know a little bit about how he was tempted. We know that interaction. I'm sure it was hot. I'm sure it was miserable. I'm sure he became hungry, but I know he kept trusting in God. He trusted God even though he was uncomfortable. So flash forward a few years. Jesus had died, he resurrected, Spirit has come down to these apostles on Pentecost. We know it must have been highly uncomfortable for these men at Pentecost. Each of these men speaking in a different language? The scene sounds a bit chaotic for me. So how many of them were uncomfortable with what was happening to them? Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, he references this prophecy from Joel. He's experiencing this. Let's read this prophecy from Joel. He references it. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. This is from Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and billows of smoke. Talk about uncomfortable. Sons and daughters preaching? Is this a patriarchal society in that particular moment? That's too progressive, right? Visions, dreams, those people who talk about visions and dreams are crazy. Which, side note, I think it's very funny. And we believe in the afterlife. We believe in heaven. But the moment someone has a near-death experience and talks about their experience with the heaven and the afterlife, we label them crazy. Visions, dreams, is there anything about that that's not uncomfortable? I know uncomfortable. You know why? Because I know comfort. I know comfort. In my daily life, everything around me, in my home, in my office, at this church, is designed to make us more comfortable. We're slaves to comfort, aren't we? Comfortable shoes, comfortable furniture, comfortable cars, comfortable pews, comfortable temperature. It goes on. We do not like to feel discomfort. And when we feel uncomfortable, we want to change whatever that is to make us more comfortable. In church, when we feel uncomfortable, what is our first thought? Well, my first thought is that something's wrong. If I'm uncomfortable, then I need to fix whatever it is that's making me uncomfortable. So I communicate my discomfort, and I get irritated when people don't try to make me feel comfortable again. I still feel comfortable next week, or if I still feel comfortable uncomfortable the next week, then I must mean I need to go somewhere else because this church is not doing something right. So I need to go somewhere that's more comfortable. What if the discomfort you are feeling is actually the Holy Spirit trying to do something in you? What if the Holy Spirit was trying to lead us somewhere good? You know, sadly, in those moments, whenever it comes to this, my typical response is I think it's time for me to lead for a little while. You know, in those moments whenever I continue to try to find comfort, to be as comfortable as possible, what if I'm continually saying no to the Holy Spirit? What if I'm telling him, no, I don't want to go that way? I mean, do you think Jesus, who was about to change the world, wanted to go to the desert to spend 40 days and 40 nights without food? Alone? I mean, I think he would have rather done something else. But I also think that in that 40 days of discomfort, Jesus found a more lasting comfort in the presence of God. Something we've not quite been able to manufacture in a factory somewhere. In the presence of God is comfort. And here's a thought that's scary and breathtaking. If we trust, if we allow ourselves to be uncomfortable, then the Spirit might just lead us into the very presence of God. And if we're able to be led by the Spirit, we cannot be afraid to encounter the living God. God is our Father. We read this earlier. I love that, Ross, that passage. We are his children. Romans 8:15-16, it says, when we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Romans 8:14, one verse earlier, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And when we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit, we're allowing ourselves to be brought into communion with our Father in heaven. And to experience God is exhilarating and it's terrifying. To experience God is to experience truth. You're stepping into the light and light exposes you, doesn't it? John 16:13-14 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Jesus says, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. In the presence of God, in communion with God and his Spirit, we see the truth of who we are, and in that truth, we see the depth of God's love for us. The Holy Spirit, it's a gift. It's a gift that keeps on giving, really. The Spirit likes to give gifts. We'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit in a few weeks. But what would it look like if, I don't know, he wrapped a gift and placed it under the tree? Oh, here's something. Did y'all put this here? It's not gold. You may need this for your journey. Oh, the Holy Spirit. Nice. Can I open this? Do y'all mind? I know it's a little early, but I think it's probably worth opening. This is fun. It's a compass. Compasses always point north. This is interesting. I can actually control if the compass stays pointing north or if I move it. It's got a little thing on top and I can just stop it from pointing. I like that. Gives me more control. You know, it's interesting to me how direction, something we take for granted in our daily life, isn't it? Wouldn't that be something if a compass led us to somewhere we really needed to go? This is always pointing north, but what if I didn't need to go north? And even though this compass points north, I can still choose to go a different direction. Think about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit will always point us toward God. Always. And sometimes the way to God is not necessarily comfortable. Sometimes I would rather listen to a man-made something than a God-made something. I guess the question really is, are we willing to be led by the Spirit? Or do we still want to lead Him ourselves? Could we trust? Could we endure discomfort? Could we not be afraid to encounter the living God? I think the Holy Spirit is ready to give us direction today and point us toward God. Will you let Him? I'll put this right here. If you want to know more about the Spirit, if you want to receive the Spirit, I'll be right here. And I will point you in the way. It is a gift that will keep on giving. It is a gift of life, and it will never lead you astray. Let's pray, and then we will sing our closing song today. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to consider your words. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see the world through your eyes. Help us not to be afraid of the Spirit's interaction in our life. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to listen and follow, even when it may not be comfortable. Lord, you're leading us somewhere good, and we are excited about the journey. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.